Well, praise God. Get your Bibles out this morning and just throw them open. Just throw them open there. That's what I'm going to do. Praise God. Praise God. Don't forget, man, for the men's fellowship, we need to get back going, and we need each other. We need friends. We need relationships. I know I heard the Lord tell me years and years and years ago that one of the greatest things that we could do is to have relationships, that people are going to be won in life by relationships. And it's important. And you may not think you need a friend, but you do. And you may not think you have anything to share, but you do. And we need as men to gather together. And if it's nothing but sitting around playing cards or talking or laughing or just eating some good food and fellowshipping with one another, it's important just to have a relationship. Amen? And so just come and come to just get to know somebody. Amen? Okay. Last week I was talking about miracles. And I was talking about how that we serve a God of miracles. And I already had a testimony. I got somebody to tell me, I asked you if anybody's had any miracles take place, so come tell me. And I had a person already tell me this morning about a miracle that took place in their life this week. And as they were telling me the story, it dawned on me that something I need to encourage you about today, okay? Miracles take place in your life because you do something with it. Miracles happen in life because you, by faith, step out of the boat and begin to try to walk on the water. You're never going to see God move in your life if you're always waiting for God to move. You're never going to find that place you want to be with Jesus until you begin to step out and do something. You've got to take your faith and do something with it. You've got to make the first move. You with me? The Christian world sits around praying and waiting for God to do something. And God said, I already did everything. I did everything on the cross. Already bought and paid for you. I did everything at the cross. Already redeemed you. Everything at the cross. I did it. I did it all. All that you ever need was taken care of right there on the cross. So, well, Pastor, you don't understand. You know, things go. No, I do understand. And I understand that sometimes we get ourselves in a mess. And I understand that sometimes we make bad decisions. We keep making bad decisions. And we keep making a greater mess. But God still wants to change that mess. And He still wants to move in the middle of your mess. And He still wants to bless your mess so that you can get out of your mess. Amen? Now, I'm going to do a little illustration here. I need a volunteer from one of you two guys. Which one wants to volunteer? Okay. Come here now. I got to do something up here. Just come up here on the stage and stand right there on the little dim. Now, I don't know how many of y'all know. This is Fred Smith. Do y'all know Fred Smith? Does everybody know Fred Smith? Huh? Y'all have never met Fred? Neither have you. Well, I just want to introduce him to you today, Fred Smith, so y'all know him. Now, see, look at all these people. They're all calling you Fred now. I just said one thing, you're Fred Smith, and now your whole life has gone away. Now you're Fred. Your son even says you're Fred. Before long, your wife's going to call you Fred. She's going to say, Fred, come on over here and take out the trash. What's the matter with you, Fred? Am I right? Is that what's happening? I just said one thing to him, and Brian became Fred. Right? Thank you. Sit down. That's what happens to us as Christians. We walk along in life, and some obstacle happens, some incident happens, something happens in life, and the devil walks up to you and says, you're a loser. You're not a Christian. Christian wouldn't act like that. And the moment that happens, the moment that takes place, if you start agreeing with it, all of a sudden you're standing there and somebody says, well, who are you? I'm a loser. And then everybody else begins to say, gosh, you act like a loser, you must be a loser. And before long, the devil has got everything already convinced, everybody around you, everything in your life starts to focus that away. You start to tear your house down and rebuild it for a loser. Hello. Your whole thinking begins to change. You begin to hang around other people whose name is loser. You begin to take notes. Folks, listen to me. That is not the Christian life. The Christian life says that you were born again. You were washed in the blood of Jesus. It says that you are a new creature in Christ. The old things have passed away and you have become new. Now, I want you to go. Let's just start this out here. Come on now. The book of Job, chapter 19. Job said a whole lot of things that were wrong, but he did say some things that were right. And there's one thing he says here in chapter 19, verse 25. All that was going on in his life, all that was happening, all that his friends had come to him and said that he was, all these things were taking place, and all of a sudden Job rose up in the middle of all of his trials that he was going through. And he said in verse 25, he says, I'm going to paraphrase this a little bit. He says, shut up now. For I know that my Redeemer lives. And he shall stand at last on the earth. And that my skin is, and that after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God. Woo! He said, look, guys, you can go say whatever you want to say, but I know. Everybody say, I know. What do you know? Hoo-hoo. I'm going to throw it back on you. You know? What do you know? That my Redeemer lives. Now, let's talk about redemption for a minute. Let's talk about that word Redeemer. It's funny because if you go look up the Hebrew root of the word Redeemer, it means, it goes back to the word kinsman redeemer, which means the relative that had the right to buy you back. Now, there's something great that God set up in early days of Israel. And you can go, he can just tell you where it is and you can go look at it. But in the book of Leviticus, chapter 25, God set up a deal called the Year of Jubilee. And some of you may know this, some of you don't. But in God's, still is to this day, God said, the earth is mine and the fullness thereof. I own the earth. God does. So he says to all of Israel, I'm going to give you an inheritance and you can live in it. And we're going to quadrant it all off. And this is going to be the section for for this group of people. And this is section for this group. And you can have it. You can farm it. You can till it. It's yours. You function with it, but it belongs to me. It's mine. Land is not transferable. It's mine. I'm going to lease it to you. Okay? It's mine. Everything, that dirt, that ground, that earth, that's mine. And so what we're going to do is, he set up this thing. Now, if he would have thought that we were going to do everything perfect, he would have never had to set this up. But he set it up because he says, listen, for every person who gets in trouble, every person who makes wrong decisions, and every person who gets in debt, and every person who goes out and has to hawk their place, in 50 years, it'll be the year of Jubilee, seven sevens is 49 years, in the 50th year, he said, you get it all back. So everything that was transacted as far as land goes, fixed land assets, fixed assets of land, everything that went in Israel only had a 50-year note to it, if you'll let me say. Because after 50 years, it reverted back to the family that originally had been given that inheritance to them by God after they came out of Egypt and the land was all set up and they went through Joshua and conquering the land and all that. It was theirs. It was going to be theirs forever. When God gave it to him, he gave it to him forever. So if everybody gets messed up, all the children do crazy things, whatever happens like that, it all goes away. They lose the inheritance. When 50 years comes back, it reverts back. In the middle between the 50 years, if you got in trouble, you can find all this in Leviticus 25, if you go read it. But if it got in trouble my daughter over there wanted to come bail her daddy out because he'd gotten in trouble, she could be the kinsman redeemer because she's the oldest in my family. Okay? She'd have the right to the kinsman redeemer over me. And she could come back in and she could pay for my property back according to how many years had transpired from the time I lost it. Because everything was only done in 50-year increments. Now, this is important. It's technical, but you got to understand this. In other words, if I got in trouble and in 25 years had gone by from the last Jubilee, and 25 years had taken place, and I got into trouble, well, then my property value was only valued at half the value. If it was $1,000 an acre, it was only worth $500 an acre because it was half the distance of the year of Jubilee, and it was going to end in 50 years anyway. So it only had half value to it. Are you following me on this? So if somebody needed to know what the price of that property was, the price of that property became all according to how many years of Jubilee had taken place. Hello? Y'all with me? I can't prove this, but a lot of historians say that the year that Jesus, when he was crucified, was the year of Jubilee. I can't prove that, but from biblical perspectives, but then adding up with all the whatever they say, that it was a year of Jubilee. Now, I don't know, don't raise your hands on this, but I don't know if you've ever had to go to a pawn shop and, put something up or you put this thing out, and you know how that works. You loan money on it, but you got to pay it back plus the interest and you get it back. So temporarily, that merchandise that was yours became theirs in the length of time they've got it until you go back and redeem it, and then it becomes yours. Right? So you lose authority over it. You lose everything. If you walked in there, if you'd gone in there and pawned a gold ring and you went in there and you looked at it and said, "Man, look at my ring in there. I mean, you need to polish it." The guy said, "I'll do whatever I want to do with it. It's mine." Y'all with me? You lose rights. That's the point I'm trying to say here. You lose rights. You lose privileges. It's not yours. Right? If you own a piece of property, let's put it something else that may be more, and you own a piece of property and you have a field on it and you lease it to somebody and they go in there and they plant it. And then you went out there and you looked and the rows weren't quite straight. You can't go up there to that person and say, "I don't like what you did here. The rows aren't straight." You leased it to them. You came into an agreement. You made a contract. No matter what you think, you've got to abide by that contract, right? Okay. Job said, when all these tribulations were coming upon him, all these things were happening to him, Job stopped and said, "Hold on. I don't know a lot, but one thing I do know. My Redeemer lives. No matter what mess I've gotten into, no matter what craziness of thinking I've gotten into, no matter what wrong decisions I've made, I have a Redeemer that can come into my life and fix it, straighten it up, buy it back." Go to Galatians. I don't think y'all are near as excited over this message as I am. Go to Galatians chapter 4. Hold your finger there. And then go to Luke chapter 4. And let's read that. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. That's what I want to read first. In Luke 4:18 is the first message Jesus preached. Jesus came up and he said in verse 18, he found where it was written. He opened up the Bible of Isaiah 61. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." That's the year of Jubilee. Okay, I had Brian up here saying he was Fred. So every person that's been bound all these years in Jesus that had been bound up, listen to what the devil had said to him, calling him Fred. Jesus came up and said to him, and he said, "I'm going to give you a new name. I'm going to give you the name that's really yours. Your name's not Fred. Your name is Brian, Overcomer, More Than Conqueror. That's your name." And the person would have to say, "Really? My name's not Fred? Your name's not Fred? Yeah, but I mean, I made some major mess ups. I've done some really stupid things. But your name's not Fred. Your name is Victorious Conqueror. Your name is Overcomer. Your name is Righteousness. Your name is Victory. Your name is Glory. Your name is Praise to the Almighty." See, folks, listen to me. We've been lied to for so long by the devil. We've been lied to for so long that you're just a lowly worm of the earth. You've been lied to for so long that you've done too much wrong. You've made too many mistakes. You've been lied to that you can't ever make it. You can't ever have any victory. You can't ever have your marriage to really be a great marriage. You just got to tolerate it where it's at. You can't have a Your kids are just going to be, just hope that they don't end up on drugs. No vision for them. Just hope that they can live. Folks, listen to me. When you get that thing redeemed back to you and it becomes yours, it's yours and you have authority over it. When you've given your life to Jesus and he comes into your life, he redeems you. And you're redeemed. That means you've been bought, paid for, signed, sealed, and delivered, and there ain't nothing nobody can do about it. The devil doesn't have any authority in your life. According to Galatians, you've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear son. You've been taken out of his authority, taken out of his place, taken out of anything that he could say to you. So then why do you listen to him? Why do you let him tell you that you're not going to make it? Why do you let him tell you that, "Oh gosh, I don't know if we're going to be able to overcome this"? Why do you tell him, "My husband will never change"? Why do you listen to those words and those things coming from the pit of hell? Because you are either redeemed or you're not. You either are or you ain't. Are y'all with me? You either are a son of God or you're not. You're either saved or you're not. Riding the fence, what we always talk about, is simply half of you knows you're a son of God and the other half of you keeps listening to what the devil's saying. Do you know how great your life will be when you just begin to simply stop listening to what the enemy says to you? "Oh, well, he doesn't love me. Oh, well, we're not going to make it. Well, I'll probably die off young. That's probably cancer. Do you realize, folks, what we listen to that does not line up with what the Word says? You know, God bless all teachers. When my kids were in school, they're my kids. And I love my kids. And nobody's going to pick on my kids. I fight for my kids. They're my family. To this day, I'm still the same way. Don't mess with my kids. Where did we get the idea that God doesn't feel the same way about us? That He's not looking down from heaven saying, I'm here to fight with you. But if you don't even agree with Him, if I was going to defend my kids and stand for my kids, but my kids would always say, Dad, you know, we don't want you to do anything. Then you know what would happen is I wouldn't do anything because I'd respect what they said and I wouldn't be doing anything. That's good. And that's what we do as Christians. The minute you start listening to the devil and what he says to you, you just basically told God Almighty to quit moving in your life. You didn't need a miracle because you were going to sit here and listen to this lying devil. You know, Hollywood, I said that last week about how I make a movie and, it's all reversed. When the devil comes up or the demon comes up, you know, is all big and scary and snarly. You just scream at him. He runs off whimpering. But if you could imagine, if you could really see into the spiritual realm and you could see the glory of heaven and the glory of angels and the glory of Jesus and all there is, and you could see the darkness of demons and the darkness of the devil and the darkness of hell, and you were sitting there, you would never listen to them. Right? You would never listen to that. You say, oh, God, get away from me. And you'd gravitate to glory. But we're in this physical realm, and so we don't see it like that. And so we let this world tell us that we're Fred when we're Brian. We let this world and this world system and all the things about it tell us that we're not anything, but you're just a Christian. Woo. See, folks, I believe we're right. And everybody else is wrong. We should be tolerant of others. I am. You need to get saved. We love you. Come on into the kingdom. Bless God. But we're right and you're wrong. I can't believe you said that. I'm not. I want people to know Jesus. I want them to know. We're right. They're wrong. I can understand how people are raised in a certain, religion and they get caught up in all that and they don't look and don't seek anywhere else. I'm telling you, we're right. Jesus is real. He is the Son of God. He's the only answer. There isn't another answer. I've always laughed, and I'm going to get in trouble for this, but I just got to say it. I've always laughed in looking at different religions and different things. You know, like you take Abraham. Abraham was a rock worshiper. Well, what are you going to get out of a rock? I mean, what's it going to do for you? Right? Likewise, in some of the more modern things, I've always smirked. I don't want to say laughed. I've always just kind of chuckled that Buddha is overweight with his belly shut and his T-shirts up, you know? I'm like, that looks like one of my redneck friends, What am I going to get from him? You follow me? I want a loving God. I want a redeemer. I want somebody that's got the power to reach down into my life and jerk me out of the mess that I'm in. I want the person that can come in there and redeem my land, redeem me when I'm in the middle. I want somebody that's powerful enough that is the God who makes worlds to come into my life and get me out of the mess. I don't want some half pint that needs to lose weight. I don't want a rock that can't do anything. I don't want a statue, a totem pole. I don't want an eagle. Y'all with me? I want a God. I want a God who makes worlds. I don't want somebody that was human but could not resurrect themselves from the dead. Woo-hoo! I want a God in my life that can't be put under the dirt. I want a God that no grave can hold them, that no stone big enough to go into the front of his grave. I want a God that goes through walls. I want a God that saves lives. I want a God that comes into our lives and changes us. I don't have to see him. I know what happened to me. And I didn't just go crazy. I didn't just, like, something in my brain went nutso. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, huh. Was Jesus. I met him one day. Changed my life forever. He redeemed me. Y'all gotta understand, I've always been crazy. I've always been extreme. I've always been radical. There was never anything. I was always radical. When I got saved, shortly thereafter, I decided I was doing a house cleaning. Okay? Y'all gotta understand, I'm crazy. I'm wild. I mean, my thinking is out there, all right? And I decided that I was going to rid myself of the evil of everything in my house. So I dug a hole in my front yard. Probably could have had a little more wisdom than that. But I dug a hole in my front yard. And I got all the whiskey bottles out, all the beer bottles out. I lined up any magazine I didn't think was appropriate. I lined up stuff that I had that I'd gathered up over my shot glasses, all this stuff. I lined them all up the front. Went in and put my hunting vest, my dove vest on, loaded all the little pockets full of shells, went out and got my shotgun. Thought that wasn't dramatic enough. Went and got some gas, poured it in the hole, lit it on fire, had a bonfire going. Got my shotgun out, started hollering at the devil, saying, "He ain't got me no more." Boom, boom, shooting bottles, glass flying everywhere. This is in my front yard. But I made a good point that day. Hell knew where I stood. Because Jesus came down and touched my life, man. Came down in my life and set me free. Came into my life and redeemed me from the mess I had gotten myself into in a moment, in a second, in a flash when I gave my heart to him. I was like Job. I said, "Man, one thing I know, my Redeemer lives. You can't tell me. Don't get in there and tell me nothing else." I had a man shortly after that come up to me. I was working as a carpenter. Then he came up on the roof and got up there with me. And he said, "Man, I hear you got saved." And I said, "Yeah, I did." He said, "Well, that is great." He said, "Now I got a book you need to read." And I said, "Really?" And I knew this person, known him all my life. He said, "I got a book you need to read." I said, "What is that?" He says, "It's a book that tells you all the contradictions that are wrong in the Bible and all the things that are wrong with the Bible." And I actually had my carpenter's belt on. I had my big old claw hammer. And I said, "I tell you what, you better get off this roof or I hit you with this hammer." He said, "What?" I said, "You get out of here." I said, "You can get off this roof. I want to throw you off this roof." I said, "You take you and your stupid book, get out of here. Ain't nothing wrong with my Bible." I said, "I don't know what kind of Bible you're reading. Ain't nothing wrong with my Bible." I really didn't know enough to know if there was anything wrong with the Bible, but I know I was standing on the high ground that day and said, "Ain't nothing wrong with my Bible." I said, "Holy Bible" on the front of my Bible. Thank goodness. Because that guy gave that book around to some other people and really messed them up. Took them years to get out of their mess. And I was just radical enough to just run him off. Is that right? Folks, I'm telling you, your Redeemer lives. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what messes you're in or have gotten in or what you need God to rescue. I don't know if you've even created the mess or you just happen to, the mess just kind of sloshed over on you from somewhere else. I don't know. I don't know if your kids have got a problem. I don't know what's going on. I don't know where it is, but I'm telling you what. Your Redeemer lives, the one that can walk in there and pay the price no matter what it is. There is no price too great. There is no mistake too big. There is nothing that he doesn't have the cash to buy. He's your Redeemer. And it says, and I'll go over there to Galatians 4. I want to finish up here. He says, but Galatians chapter 4, verse 3, even so when we were children, we're in bondage under the elements of the world. And when the fullness of the time had come, everybody say the fullness of the time. Say it again, say the fullness of the time. God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you're a son, God sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. You can say, you can go and listen to the devil telling you your name's Fred all day long and telling you you don't deserve anything that heaven has. But I'm telling you, you're wrong, because if you've been bought and you're a son of God, then everything that's in the kingdom belongs unto you as a son. Hello? Sometimes we want to take our sonship and do something with it that's really not ours, and that ain't going to happen. But everything that's in the kingdom belongs unto you. Redemption is yours. And no devil in hell can take it from you. And if you don't remember that you're a son and remember what your name is, the devil will talk you out of it every time. But if you'll stand your ground and you'll stand up to the things of this world and you'll look it straight in the face and say, that is not what the rule book says. I have the redemption rule book. It's sitting right here. I've read it, and I declare my Redeemer lives, and I'm going to see my God, and he is God, and he is real, and you can't do nothing about it. If you can't stand up and do that and have confidence in what I've told you today, that you've been redeemed, well, I want to tell you something, you're in trouble. And I can't do anything for you until you quit calling yourself Fred. Unless your name's Fred. Are you with me? Do you realize I can pray over you, speak over you, throw the holiest holy water over you, oil you down with one of those 3-gallon sprayers of the holiest anointing oil we can find. But as long as you're agreeing with hell, nothing's going to change in your life. Nothing will change. As long as you're a yabbit, ain't nothing going to change. I'm sorry. I wish it was magic. I wish I could throw the pixie dust. I wish I could just throw it and you got it on you and woohoo. But I can't. You got to get hold of it. You got to know that your Redeemer lives. You got to know what your Redeemer says. You got to know what the rules are. Now, last scripture I'll give you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, I believe, as I close my Bible, says, eye has not seen, nor ears heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for him. I want you to know that whatever your expectation is, that ain't it. 2 Corinthians. Okay, I want you to understand that whatever, that ain't it either. Man, y'all got to make me open up my Bible and go look. Whatever you're believing for, whatever you're thinking, God has greater things than that for you. You hear what I'm saying? Whatever Whatever. Whatever. Just hold on. Just hold on. Thank you, my son. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. My son, redeem me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Look at it. Eye has not seen, nor ears heard, nor has it entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So if you stop there and you realize that right now God has got more prepared for you and loves you more than you're what you're imagining. But look at the next verse. But verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. So in other words, the Holy Ghost wants to come into your life and show you the areas that you are not walking in your redemption. So wherever you are today, me included, I'm not walking in all the goodness that he has for me. He's got a better and a higher way to walk than I'm walking. Freely giving it to you. You see what I'm saying, church? How far we're missing it? How many of you have ever gotten, you know, like, let's just be honest. How many of you even this last week, you know, that you became anxious about anything? Raise your hand. Okay, got some people in here. Do you know that he doesn't want that in your life? Do you know that he wants you to come to the place where you could have looked at the... I mean, we're talking about... You got to understand me. You know, like I had water running everywhere this week, man. Ain't nothing going to freeze up on me. But just the thought of, I mean, they make it, the news and everything, it makes it feel like we're like in the Arctic ice age. It's going to like, we're going to be frozen solid, not be able to move, you know, the wickedness for forever. But you know, we're all still alive this week. We had some busted pipes and, or whatever, you know, but we're all still alive. Sun's out, man. We got to go play in the sun today. Y'all with me? It changes. It goes away. But the anxiety. Oh, he doesn't want to be in that. Wouldn't it be great to say, oh, that sun's going to come out tomorrow. It ain't going to be no big deal. It's all right. Woo-hoo! God's got everything taken care of. Glory to God. It's going to be great. Come on, freeze. I ain't scared of you. Right? But no, oh, God, we run around everywhere like a chicken with their head cut off. Are y'all with me? He wants in every little thing going on in your life, every little thing. He's got a higher way for you to be walking through it than you are. And it's not hidden from you. He wants to reveal it to you by the Spirit. You just got to find it. You just got to spend some time with him and find it. And there's a better way. There's a better way to walk, a better way to live, a better way to get out of anxiety and stress and turmoil and all these things. It says there's a better way. He's got a higher way. And that's not the way of ignoring it. Of just walking through life like a bobo, you know, just like, oh, well, everything is whatever, you know. Oh, life. You know, like you got spaced out on LSD or something, you know, and you just lost it. I mean, that's not the answer. Right? It's that living, vibrant relationship with him. Amen. Amen. So, let's find it. We're going to take communion this morning. Ladies, if y'all can go ahead and bring it down. We're going to take communion this morning. Today is a perfect day to start off this month by saying, Lord, I'm sorry that I've not been walking in my redemption, but I want to start today. I want to hear from heaven. I want to walk with you. Forgive me of my ignorance. Forgive me of my doubt and unbelief and anxiety. Amen. I want to start off fresh and anew today.